Well, today we are just right at 4 weeks from Passover, April 12th. Of course, we keep it the night before, so last night would be exactly 4 weeks. And I think every year as we come around to this time of year, we recognize that in some ways, Passover, we could say, is the most important feast we keep, because it pictures the only way that any of us as human beings have any hope of being saved, any hope of salvation. As Peter told the Jewish rulers in the early days of the early New Testament church, there's no other way. That's found in Acts 4. I guess we should turn there. Acts chapter 4, verses 10, 11, and 12. Acts chapter 4. Get there. Verse 10, Peter stands up and he says to the leaders there, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." So verse 11 now, Acts 4, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So we recognize that Passover pictures the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's only his paying the death penalty for us that allows us to have a chance for eternal life. So it's easy for us to see why Passover is such an important feast. And yet, in some ways, we might think, ironically, it's not a holy day. It's not a day that God says we should refrain from work. He didn't command Passover day to be a day of rest, like the weekly or the other annual Sabbaths. Why was that? Maybe he recognized that there would be a need to de-leaven right before unleavened bread. We can speculate, but God's the one who knows. But it's not a holy day. And Passover is unique. And in some ways, I want to talk about Passover today. It has some surprises. There are a lot of questions that have come up over the decades about Passover. I'd like to take a look at some of the largest questions today to see if we can reinforce why we do what we do, why we keep Passover the way we do. Because there are different groups, there are different individuals who feel we are not keeping it correctly. And there are a lot of ideas about Passover. So let's start with looking at a couple of things today. Some questions and controversies. First of all, we could say one of the biggest questions is, when is Passover to be kept? I mean, we know it's the 14th, says it's a Passover, but the Jews today eat their Passover meal, their Seder. They eat it at the beginning of the 15th. So is it the 14th or is it the 15th? Now, why would that even be a question? Who cares what the Jews do? Well, of course, we care kind of what the Jews do. But we care more about what God says. But why would it be a question for anybody? Well, I think John 18, I'm going to go ahead and turn there. I was going to mention this again later, but let's go ahead and read it now. John chapter 18 kind of gives a reason for there to be a little bit of a question about this. In John chapter 18, and we can just read verse 28, Jesus is being tried by the Jewish Sanhedrin, by the leaders of the Jews, and they were trying to get him crucified. And in verse 28, after a night of going through all of this, they led Jesus, verse 28 of John chapter 18, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So here they were. Jesus had kept the Passover the night before. Then he was betrayed. Then he was being interrogated all night long, sent to Caiaphas, now being taken to the praetorium to be judged by Pilate. And the Jews wouldn't go into the praetorium because they wanted to eat the Passover. So they didn't eat the Passover when Jesus did. When did they eat it? Well, the Bible isn't explicit about it, but obviously it was going to be later in that day or later that evening. So we can see why there's a question about this, reading this passage. And when it comes to a controversy that has raged for centuries, I guess it should be clear that there might be some questions we can't absolutely answer, that we can't give an absolute answer for why individuals did what they did. But this particular aspect of Passover has been researched numerous times in the church, in the Church of God, in the Church of God community. It was investigated many times during Mr. Armstrong's life, and again after his life, and probably a little over a decade or so ago, it was researched once again. And we once again came to the same conclusion, the one that we have always concluded, that we see the majority, the weight of the majority of evidence is to keep it the way we do. So I'd like to take a little bit of time here, a little bit different approach to a sermon, but to look at systematically some of the reasons we keep Passover the way we do, and that we answer this particular question the way we do. So when is Passover, or when is Passover to be eaten? I'll put the questions in brighter colors here, so then bring in some other things that can maybe help with that. Let's go first of all to Exodus chapter 12. This is very familiar to us. Those of us who have been in the church for any length of time know that this is where God instituted the Passover for ancient Israel. Exodus chapter 12. I won't go through all of the stuff that leads up to this, but let's read verse 6. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. It says this, "Now you shall keep it," meaning the lamb that they've selected, "until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." They shall kill it at twilight. So here we see that this was the first Passover for ancient Israel. Verse 3 says, "Separate a lamb, take it on the I think it was what was it the 14th on the separated out on the 10th of the month, and then on the 14th, kill it at twilight." The New King James says. The King James says it, that evening. Now for us, evening's a little different than twilight. We might think evening might include a darkness. But there is a marginal note that says Hebrew is between the evenings. So between the evenings. And that's the phrase that has caused a lot of disagreement over the years when people look at Passover, even people like us who say we still need to keep the Passover. God never rescinded the Passover. It continued in the New Testament church. Jesus Christ kept it, and we too keep the Passover. We should take note that in verse 12, God says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment." So it would be at night that he would do that. Now in verse 12, we read this about him executing judgment. And also note down in verse 22 that nobody was supposed to go out of their house. In fact, let's go ahead and read that. Verse 22, "You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel in the two doorposts with the blood that's in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning." Now, the Hebrew word that's translated morning here, you can look it up in any lexicon you want. I looked it up in Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, and it says the breaking through of daylight, thus dawn or the early morning. In other words, the word actually means has to do with breaking, something breaking. But in this context of night and day, it's of the light breaking through the darkness. So we would say at dawn, as light begins to break through the darkness. Now, while we're here, we'll come back to this a little bit later, but notice there's a second feast, which is the Days of Unleavened Bread. And this one does not say that it starts at twilight. We can look at this in the same chapter, back up to verse 18. It says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. So at evening is different than twilight. Now, what's a little bit confusing is that sometimes the way the King James, or rather the Strong's Concordance, uses their numbering system. But it says evening. The word translated evening means sunset according to Hebrew lexicons. Remember, God starts the day in the evening, and then the morning is the second portion of the day. And sundown is used as the demarcation between one day and then the evening that starts the next day. So it's at sundown that the first day of unleavened bread begins. Doesn't start on the 14th, but it starts after the 14th at sundown. We can confirm that in Leviticus 23. Again, we're very familiar with these chapters, these passages, but just to solidify in our minds why we do it the way we do it, here we are in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 5. Says, on the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, again, at that twilight time, whatever that means, between the evenings, as a marginal note said, is the Lord's Passover. And the very next thing that says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So we have 14th at twilight is the Passover. The 15th is starting the days of unleavened bread. So that difference is made very clear in Leviticus chapter 23. 15th day is unleavened bread, and it's 7 days that we eat unleavened bread. Now, that seems pretty understandable, but there are times when individuals have said, well, wait a minute, we just ate unleavened bread at Passover. Shouldn't we be eating unleavened bread that next day? I mean, if we're unleavened, then why do we want to put leaven back in our bodies on the Passover day? And shouldn't we just keep that as a day of unleavened bread? Well, you can do whatever you choose to do, but what does God say to do? Well, God says 7 days are the days of unleavened bread. We'll come back to that, talk about that a little bit later. But it is beginning at sundown. This is what God indicates. Now, in Numbers, I'm not going to turn there. I'll throw this up on the screen. But this says the same thing in Numbers 28, 16 and 17. The 14th is the Passover. 15th is the beginning of the days of unleavened bread. This is what God designated. Again, regardless of what the Jews do, these are two separate festivals. We read in the New Testament many times they say the Feast of Unleavened Bread had come when it was time to kill the Passover. Well, they're lumping them together. It's very clear from what God says, these are different feasts. Yes, it was a time of unleavened bread and Passover, and they're viewed kind of as a consecutive thing because they're right next to each other. It's kind of like we talk about going to the feast. How many of us say, I'm going to the feast in Branson and the Last Great Day? We don't add the Last Great Day. We know it's right there. It's along with the feast. So we can't fault the Jews too much, I don't think, for combining them. To say it was a time of the Passover when the lambs are killed and they eat unleavened bread. Well, yeah, because they're 8 days together. But they're two separate feasts, just like the Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day are two separate feasts. So we find that same thing over and over and over again. With that background from the Old Testament, let's take a look at what we find in the New Testament. What did Jesus do? That's a pretty good thing for us to look at and to consider. Now, I have a handout for you because you're not going to be able to read all the details on the screen for this. So if I can get them to hand this out, let you take a look at what I'm going to be looking at. I think this little chart is very helpful. Christ's final Passover. Now, as best we can guess, and again, we're trying to pick the best date we can assume, was the time of Christ's death. We have reasons for picking 31 AD. based on historical information. It's not something we just picked out of the sky. But 31 AD, Passover fell on a Wednesday. And so Tuesday night would have been the beginning of Passover. And that in AD 31 would be April the 25th. Now, as you can clearly see here, Luke 22 is referenced in this first column. When it's looking at Tuesday, that Christ sent Peter and John to go find a place to keep the Passover, and he repeatedly calls it the Passover that he is going to keep with them. And you keep reading in that chapter, and they go and prepare the Passover in chapter 22, Luke 22 and verse 13. So it's very clear, Jesus was not doing something different. He was not saying, this is going to be a pseudo-Passover because I want to show you what it should be like later. He said, no, this is the Passover. This is when I'm going to eat it. This is the Passover. And then you can see on Tuesday night, the disciples are gathered, the dark part. Kind of like the way this is put together, because it shows the way we keep our English or American days. Tuesday is the day and then the night. But God, for him, it's the night and then the day. So the dates in Hebrew are on the bottom. And it's night first and then the day. So Tuesday night and Wednesday would have been the Passover, Nisan or Nisan 14. So that nighttime period is when Jesus kept the Passover with his disciples. That's when he went out, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. He prayed. He was arrested. And he ended up in the daytime period being crucified. So he ended up going into the tomb the night, which would have been the way we count time, Wednesday night, which is the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread, the 15th of Nisan. He was in the tomb at that point. And, of course, you can count 3 days later. Nights on the 15th, the first day. 16th was the second day into Friday. Saturday, beginning with night and day, would have been the third day. And so the end of Saturday daylight period would have been when he was resurrected, 3 days and three nights. That's a whole other controversy, but it's real easy to count 3 days and three nights the way God counts time. So we look at this and we say, well, this is pretty clear that the Jews wouldn't go in the praetorium when Jesus was going to be tried before Pilate, because they were going to eat the Passover at a different time than Christ did. So which do we give the weight of evidence to? What the Jews were going to do or what Jesus did? Well, it's a no-brainer, right? We look at the example of Jesus Christ, and for us today, it's so simple. We just follow the example of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. The Jews did something different. Well, okay, that's all right. They can do something different. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do something that was not proper. He ate the Passover at the right time and set the example for us. Now, when we go back and look at the Old Testament Passover, that's when people sometimes say, well, it looks kind of like they did it a little differently in that first Passover. Okay, so let's answer some of those questions and why do we think it should be the way we think it is. Well, was the Passover lamb killed in the afternoon of the 14th and eaten on the 15th? No, not according to what we recognize, because Christ, we believe, followed it correctly. He did it the way it would have been established in the Old Testament. So let's take a look at this question. When was the lamb killed in the Old Testament? Here's something to look at. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. I'll talk about these Hebrew words in just a minute. And I know this is a little bit technical, but it's important for us to understand why we do what we do, and why we feel this is the proper way to do it. Exodus chapter 12, again, starting in verse 3, the 10th month, you take a lamb. The 6th verse, we read that one, that they would kill it in the 14th day at twilight, as the New King James says. It was eaten that night, verse 8, eat the flesh on that night. So after you kill it, you have to cook it. So they would have taken some time to cook it, and then they would have roasted it. They would have eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And we read down in verse 11. Well, we didn't read this in verse 11, but it says, "Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Very clear that this is the Passover. Verse 13 talks about the time with the blood that I'm going to strike the land of Egypt. And the key here, again, is this word, in the evening, or twilight. The Hebrew phrase, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. You can look at it there on the handout and or on the screen. And if Dr. Levy ever heard this and I tried to pronounce it, I would be extremely embarrassed. So I won't embarrass myself, and I'll just say, read what it says. Whatever, however you pronounce that word, Strong says it's number 6153. But this particular one, that has the longer phrase, is between the evenings. The Jewish Publication Society, their version says dusk. The New English Bible translates it as between dusk and dark. Moffat translation says between sunset and dark. And I would say, in our estimation, Moffat is probably the most accurate between sundown and darkness. That would be the between the evenings. That would be that time period when the lamb would have been killed. There wasn't an exact point in there that you have to kill it. You know when the sun goes down that it's not instantly dark, right? We've all watched a sundown. We said, oh, what a beautiful sundown. The sun is down below the horizon. We still got light. You can still hunt. Oh, wait a minute. Where'd that come from? It's still light enough for you to see things pretty clearly. So you've got about a half an hour before they say you better not shoot anything after half an hour or you get in trouble. But you can see for quite a while before, as it's getting darker, and finally it gets to be what we call night, darkness. So during that time period, a half an hour or so, somewhere in there is when they were to kill the lamb. Now, this is the phrase that's caused an argument for centuries. Jewish tradition says that this phrase can mean anywhere from the time the sun has reached its apex and starts toward going down. That anywhere from there all the way till you get down to sundown and past. That's Jewish tradition. You don't find that in the Bible, and you don't find that in this Hebrew word. Not if you look at the way it's translated by these various translations, and you look at lexicons. They'll tell you this particular phrase means between the two, between the evenings, sunset to darkness. Now, you see the way those are. And of course, that's in line with Brown Driver Briggs' lexicon of the Old Testament. It's one of the conservative lexicons. It's been around for a long time. A lexicon simply like a dictionary for another language. It tells you what those words mean in another language. And that's what it says this particular phrase means. Now, the other phrase that starts the days of unleavened bread. Whoops, let me back up here. Yes, there we go. The other phrase, notice it is a hyphenated word. But look at the number that Strong's uses for this particular word, as it also uses for that phrase for between the evenings. It is the same number 6153. And yet, I wasn't going to do that, sorry. Something like that means evening. It means sunset. You can look it up in lexicons. I looked up every one I have, and every one of them says the same thing, that it is the time when the sun goes down, when it's no longer visible. That's what this word means, that it's sunset. Not necessarily dark yet, but it's sunset. That's why we say the Sabbath begins at sunset. Holy days begin at sunset. The next day begins at sunset. So the 14th of Nisan, Passover starts at sunset, and it's sometime after sunset between the evenings that the Jews would have killed the lamb. Now, again, that's confusing when you see two different words that mean two different things, and yet Strong's Concordance lists them as the same number. I think that's quite reasonable to understand why people would be confused over this. One is a period of time, dusk, 30 minutes. The other is an exact point in time when the sun slips below the horizon. So, again, based on what we see here, the evidence says the Passover lambs in Exodus 12 were kept up to the start of the 14th, and they were killed at the beginning between the evenings, and they were to be eaten that evening, and they were not to leave their houses that night. And yet, we find in the Old Testament that they left Egypt. That Israel left Egypt by night. So when did they do that? We saw Israel, again, was not supposed to leave, and yet Deuteronomy 16:1 says that they were going to leave. Get you to this one. Deuteronomy chapter 16:1. Let's go ahead and turn there. Deuteronomy 16:1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. And that is the word night. And it's the Hebrew word that is translated as night. It's what that particular Hebrew word means. So if they came out by night and yet they couldn't leave the night that they were eating the Passover, that means there was another night, right? Obviously, has to be. Turn your chart over, and the other side shows what we believe to be the best evidence of what ancient Israel did. Now, again, I've talked with Dr. Levy about this, and he says, well, there's some arguments to be made, maybe a little bit differently, but the best evidence we have is this scenario for ancient Israel. Let me add the caveat. In one sense, it doesn't matter what ancient Israel did, right? What matters is that we follow what Christ did. But we believe this is exactly what ancient Israel did. They did exactly the same thing. They ate the lamb during that night period of Passover, which was the 14th of Nisan. So, the back of your hand up shows this. From what we looked at, again in the first question, the 14th is a Passover. The 15th starts the days of unleavened bread. So, based on what Jesus did, the one who instituted the Passover, we would say, no, they ate the Passover at this time, which is the 14th, the beginning of Passover day. And they would have left at night. They would have spent that whole day, as you look at this, you look in the white center white column, you can read all the specifics in there, but none of the remains of any of the Passover meal had to be burned. They weren't going to be kept. They had to be burned. They baked unleavened bread during that day. They spoiled the Egyptians. They gathered together in troops or in ranks to be able to leave, and they left that night. That night would have been the 15th. The beginning of the 15th. Now we call that the night to be much remembered, much to be observed. It's referenced several different ways in the Old Testament, but we've kind of settled on night to be much observed. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful night to remember. It's the time that ancient Israel came out of Egypt, actually marched out of Egypt toward the Red Sea. And they marched as far as what was it? Succoth, I believe, that they went. You can read that in the black on the far right. They marched about 20 miles and then camped at Succoth. So, all of this begs the question, why did the Jews do what they did in the New Testament? Why? Well, here's our chart. We believe that this accurately represents what ancient Israel did. Why did the Jews do something different? Well, again, Let's take a look at something here. We read this earlier, but I'll point it out again. They led Jesus to Pilate, but they didn't go to the praetorium because they wanted to eat the Passover. Clearly, they were doing something different. Now, why did were the Jewish leaders then keeping Passover one night later? Again, that's the question that we don't have an absolute accurate answer for. There is some evidence, some historical evidence, that Jesus condemned the Jews. There's biblical evidence. He condemned them for doing many things that were not in God's word. They made, in some cases, God's word of no effect because of their rules that their leaders had established. The rule of Corban, for example. So we know that Jesus said their traditions were not accurate, that they were wrong quite often. They were not what God intended, and sometimes specifically broke God's law. And nobody questioned him among the disciples. Why are you doing the Passover now? It's supposed to be later. Nobody raised a question. They simply did what he said to do. Now, I will say there is another reason that some people get into arguments over this, is because when you read Deuteronomy 16, I won't turn there, but I'll just mention this, there and a couple of other places, it mentions Passover and unleavened bread together, just like it does in the New Testament. When you read it in Deuteronomy chapter 16, the focus is not about how to keep the Passover and how to keep the days of unleavened bread. The whole part of that, because I just read through that again just the other day, the whole passage is about the fact that they were to take their holy things to the temple, to the place where God placed his name. They could eat, if they shot a deer, they could eat a deer, or they could eat wherever else. But if it was something devoted to God, something was in worship of God, they were to take that to the tabernacle or to the temple, to the place that God established. And that whole chapter focuses on that particular part of their ancient Israel when they came into the Promised Land, that this is what they were supposed to do. Kylan DeLitt's commentary and Barnes notes all focus on that and say this is what that focus is on. It's not about how to keep Passover or how to keep unleavened bread. So just so you are aware that there may be some who will raise an argument about Deuteronomy 16, maybe saying something a little bit different. There are some historical references that can be found that indicate that there were two different groups. We know there were various groups. Let me rephrase that. We know in ancient times in the first century, there were several different groups of Jews. We know Sadducees. We know the Pharisees, Essenes, Herodians. There were various groups among the Jews that basically did the same thing, but they had some differences among them. And there is some historical evidence to say that the Sadducees and the Pharisees kept Passover differently. Some of them ate it on the 14th at night. Some did it later, either in the late afternoon of the 14th or into the 15th. There is historical evidence to say that. Only one of those groups continued to exist after the fall of the temple in AD 70, and that was the Pharisees. So today, when Jews follow their normal custom of eating their Seder meal at the beginning of the 15th instead of the 14th, they're following what the Pharisees were doing. They're the ones that survived, and that they're the ones that have led modern Judaism as of today. It is the norm. Again, these passages have caused a lot of disagreement over the centuries, but looking at what Jesus did, looking at what we just looked at in this chart, it seems pretty clear to us that this is what we need to do. And in fact, when we read 1 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about the Passover, he talks about what he did, that Jesus told him what to do, and this is what he did. He followed through, that he did the bread and did the wine as Jesus Christ did. Okay, so what's the big deal about all this? Why take the time to go through and clarify all these details? Well, two words: doctrinal integrity. It's something we feel is extremely important. We go to a lot of trouble, a lot of research to clarify these answers. Doctrinal integrity is crucial for us as Christians. We read, actually, in the sermonette, this passage was read, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to go back there again. When Paul was talking to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the passage was read for a little bit different reason during the sermonette, but I want to focus on another part. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent." So this means get this right. Be diligent. Don't just be haphazard about this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Approved was the word he was focusing on in the sermonette, but who's not, has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly understanding what God has written, not traditions of others, but what God has written, rightly dividing that and following it. Doctrinal integrity is something that's very, very important. And I hope that by going through this, it'll help solidify these things in your mind and realize we do what we do because we can look at the Bible and we can research it and see that this is what God is telling us to do. Let's consider one more question. Let me think I've got a slide here on this one. Yep. Why eat unleavened bread at Passover, and then why would it be okay to eat leaven the next day? As I said, some people have raised that question and said, well, that just doesn't seem right. we eat unleavened bread, and then we go back to eating leaven again. We could speculate again. Maybe God realized if you're going to get all the leaven out by the beginning of the 15th, the 14th might be a good day for you to get the last little bit out and get it out of the house and be finished with it. Otherwise, we would end up really having 8 days of unleavened bread if you had to get it out by the 14th, the beginning of the 14th, instead of the 15th. But the point is, unleavened bread was not that unusual in ancient Israel. In fact, every sacrifice had to be offered with unleavened bread. It was very common in ancient Israel. So to eat unleavened bread was nothing unusual at all. Leviticus chapter 2. Let's turn there. Leviticus chapter 2. And verse 11. It says, "No grain offering," Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11, "no grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire." Now, the only exception to this, we might say, if it's an exception, would be in Leviticus 23 when the first fruits offering on Pentecost and the day of first fruits, they weren't burned on the altar, but they were waved before God, and they were leavened loaves, two loaves that were done on Pentecost. But unleavened bread, anything that was burned on the altar had to be unleavened, all the grain offerings. So unleavened bread was very clear, very common in ancient Israel. To have unleavened bread at the Passover meal wouldn't have been anything odd or unusual because unleavened bread was rather common. Again, if you go back to Leviticus 23, we read this. I'll just throw it up on the screen again. But he says, "Eat unleavened bread for 7 days." That's God's very clear statement that it is for 7 days, not 8 days, but 7 days. Now, some might say, "Well, wait a minute. Passover shows our deliverance from sin. Leaven equals sin, so why eat sin on the 15th?" Well, again, leavened bread was very common throughout the year, and unleavened bread was very common throughout the year. And God didn't designate 8 days; He said 7 days of unleavened bread. At that time, it's the only time that it pictures sin for us. It's not always equal to sin. In fact, Jesus even used the analogy. It's like the kingdom of heaven and the board that they were putting up didn't necessarily, well, I think it did. Put a little leaven in a something to make it rise. It's like leaven, a woman who hid leaven in a dough, and it rose and filled the whole earth. So leavening can represent the kingdom of God as it spreads. It's only during those 7 days that it represents sin. Take a look also at this passage in Exodus. Let's turn there, Exodus chapter 12. Because we find this statement that talks about the days of unleavened bread, also picturing coming out of sin. Exodus chapter 12, both Passover and the days of unleavened bread picture the deliverance from Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that is what everyone must eat, except that which everyone must eat. That only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a lasting ordinance. Everlasting ordinance. So, the 15th, the beginning of the 15th, again, look at your chart, the beginning of the 15th is when they were leaving Egypt, and that represents coming out of sin, coming out of Egypt. So, what impact does all of this have on us again? Well, again, there's no way to conclusively answer every question that people might have or every aspect. But as we look at the preponderance of evidence, this is what we see. And when we look at the example of Jesus Christ, it's very clear what we see, what he did, and what Paul says we should do. Let's turn there just as a final comment. Regardless of what the Jews did, Paul told Gentiles that this was what they were supposed to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Beginning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there were several things that he was correcting the church in Corinth on about the Passover, eating and some hungry, some not, and there were a lot of things that were going on, but let's just read beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul taught the same thing that he had been taught by Jesus Christ. There's no emphasis on bitter herbs or any of the rest of the things that they did in the Old Testament. It's simply about the bread, about the wine. Bread picturing his broken body, wine picturing his shed blood. That this is what Paul says we do. And this is what you as a Gentile church should do. Timing of the same night that he was betrayed is when he did this. And that would have been on the 14th when Passover was taking place. He shed his blood. Broken body, wine to picture his shed blood, and that's what we'll do in 4 weeks, minus a day, minus an evening. So, see you then.